The recent sexual assault of CBS correspondent Lara Logan has called attention to an issue that is far too prevalent, yet too often ignored. The dangers faced by journalists, especially women, covering stories in conflict zones around the world. Logan was attacked as she reported from Cairo's Tahrir Square on the last night of the pro-democracy uprisings in Egypt after becoming separated from her TV crew. CBS said she suffered a brutal and sustained sexual assault and beating and was finally rescued by a group of women and soldiers. Mac McClellan is an award-winning human rights reporter for Mother Jones magazine, whose job has taken her to conflict zones like Haiti and soon Congo. She says it took a lot of courage for Logan to go public and hopes it will start a much-needed conversation within the industry.
It's not like rape is only a problem in the journalism industry. Obviously, it's a problem way outside of that. But in the context of this conversation, you know, women journalists do put themselves at greater risk, certainly than a lot of other career types. You know, when you're by yourself, you're in hostile environments, conflict situations sometimes, or even not conflict environments, but just a place where you are alone and in a strange place. And it is incredibly common for female journalists to be threatened or actually assaulted or harassed. And it is a thing that, you know, has traditionally not been talked about.
Raised by pot-smoking parents, McClellan, who says she never developed a tolerance for so much as being yelled at, enrolled herself in a brutal 3-day self-defense course in Monterey in preparation for her upcoming assignment in Congo.
I often am reporting by myself on assignment, and, you know, there have been a couple experiences that I've had in the past where I was in Oklahoma or Haiti, and I, you know, was overtly threatened or felt threatened, and so I needed to be able to feel like, you know, I had better chances in a situation if something like that were to arise again.
It's called full force self-defense, and it's designed to terrorize women for hours at a time in an effort to train the body to overcome the instinct to freeze in response to crisis. It was invented by a woman with a black belt in karate who was unable to fend off her own rape because all of her training was limited to controlled spars and not under the influence of what McClellan calls survival adrenaline.
Like, for a lot of people, once you get assaulted, your brain will just stop working. You know, you just, like, you can't think, you can't breathe. And so they're trying to make those responses completely automatic in you. And if not completely automatic, at least, you know, 2 seconds worth of hesitation before they kick in.
McClellan wrote about her experience in a 2-part article for Mother Jones. She says full force defense means not pulling your punches or mimicking your way out. Instead, an assailant attacks you until you are striking him as hard as you actually can and until he feels he would have legitimately been knocked out if not for all his padding. McClellan said although women were allowed to tap out if the situation became too overwhelming for them, only one did, and it wasn't for long.
You know, it brings up a lot of memories for some people, you know, if they're survivors of assault, or, you know, it's terrifying, so a lot of people reacted very strongly, but nobody opted to tap out in that particular one. Although the second day that I went, somebody did at one point. It just, like, it got too intense, and she was just way too upset and just needed a minute to collect herself because we were in these extended fight scenarios where you just get attacked for a really long time. And, like, after one attacker, there's another attacker who can come up to you and make you sort of do the whole thing over again, and you get very tired. And so, but just one time in the 24 hours worth of stuff did someone, you know, say, I've had enough, I can't do this anymore.
The good news, McClellan says, is that every fight won further embeds in your body the possibility of doing it again. And she believes everyone could benefit from full impact training.
Honestly, I couldn't help but thinking while I was in it, you know, everybody should be doing this. I mean, not just journalists. I felt like, you know, if I had kids, I would drag them through it. But I feel like it should be taught in schools because it's not just you know, about protecting yourself physically and protecting your physical space, which is obviously incredibly important. But it's not just about that. Also, the things that you learn about setting your personal boundaries and your emotional boundaries are crucial, not just for, you know, when you're getting threatened, but even just in your personal interactions. It's really good to have practice with, you know, exercising that kind of strength.
According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, 44 journalists were killed in 2010 and 145 imprisoned. But despite these statistics, the group's safety guide ignores the issue of sexual assault. When McClellan raised this question to the CPJ, they said the guide is undergoing a broad revision and that the new edition, which will be published at the end of the year, will include a section on sexual assault.